We are going to go to Nehemiah, but I want us to go to Isaiah 28 and verse 9 and down just a little bit. But so Isaiah 28 and verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? Now remember, you can know a lot, and this came up, I don't know how many times while we were gone, but I know it's God. He's working, and I'll just say he's working in me. You can know a lot about the Word of God. You can know where the verses are. I'm thankful that when I know where a verse is, I can honestly tell you I've had to walk that verse with him. And I believe that's for everybody. But when you teach knowledge, then people hear the Word of God and they said, I know. And I loved it because Dave was telling me on the trip, I know exactly where a lot of scriptures are, Mom. He said, you know, that didn't return void. He said, I know more about the Word than you think I do. And I said, and that is wonderful, and I thank God for it. But you can know every scripture in this book, but if we don't allow God to make it ours and make it practical, it's nothing. I mean, it is still something, but it's nothing to us. It's just words. We're just talking about the Word of God, but we have to allow God to make it practical. And I would say don't take that personal, but yeah, take it personal because God is speaking. He's the one who told me to say it. Whom shall we teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand? Notice, whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and are drawn from the breast. But you cannot be weaned off those breasts and taken away until, and I don't think you ever know enough about your foundation and sanctification and redemption and atonement or atonement. You have to go back. Those are milk of the Word. And when you have a perfect diet, you still need to have that. And that's like a lot of it that's coming out this morning. He just made it more real. You hear it again and again. Now, he's changing us from glory to glory. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they may go, fall backward, be broken, snared, and taken. But I want us to realize that he is changing us from glory to glory. And when I see that verse, I hear, I'm changing you, a line upon line, just a precept upon precept. Don't feel like you have to grow up overnight. God's got it all. God is the one who's changing us. And even if he gives people a message or he puts a pastor behind the pulpit, I don't care who it is, God is the only one that can bring an increase. It has nothing to do with the messenger except a yielded vessel. And now when I see that, I could just see it as God telling me to, and even getting to share it, how we're changed. I saw those verses before, but I heard it as he's teaching me these things. But no, he's changing me just a little bit, just a line upon line. When you get in there and really look at that, he's changing you into the very image of his son. But the word of God has got to be preached. Now I want us to go over to Nehemiah, because we already talked in starting our book in Nehemiah. We talked about how there's going to be reproach. There was going to be problems. But when we got to the end of chapter 2, we read that Nehemiah told them in verse 18, he finally opens up and he tells them, the hand of my God, which is good upon me. He told them, that is what is encouraging his heart. He knew what his mission was. He had gone out, he surveyed the land, he knows. He knows what he's asked to do, and God has revealed to him, and he knows what it's going to be. But he said, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me, and they said, let us rise up. Notice how all of a sudden he's ready. They're ready. Those that are with him are ready. Let us rise up. Let us rise up. And you're going to see more about that. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. See, the good work. The good work is not our work. It is what Christ has done. But remember, the walls have been taken down. There was no separation. There is no sanctification. There is none of these things. This has all been torn down. But God will restore. He will restore these things. And he had on my heart, even as I was studying, they have left their first love. But God has builders. God has those who are building upon that good set foundation. They're building with gold and silver and precious stones. They're telling them Paul's gospel. Well, we have to know our need. We have to know our need, and your need is not just in the beginning of the gospel. It's continual. There is going to be those times that they're going to come and disdain you. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to ridicule you. They're going to talk about you behind your back. They're going to, all kinds of things. Put this in today. Is that not happening today? What are we going to do? Fight back? No. Build with the proper building material. Then I answered them. I said to them, the God of heaven, he's going to prosper us. He is going to prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise. And I always like when I see arise, get up. We're going to rise up and we're going to build. You have no portion. You have no right. You have no memorial in Jerusalem. What is the people today saying? Even in Israel, we're going to take this land. No, you're not, because it's their land. It is their land. That is what God has said. Man, there's going to be trials. There is trials. But it doesn't change what God said. God said it is their land. And it's going to be. And if you go to the end of the book, you'll see it. So now the building is going to begin. They know they're going to have opposition. They know he knew what his calling, what he had asked to do. He knows, he sees everything is flat. It needs to be builded. As I was studying, I thought of how the Lord said, he's going to tear that down and he's going to rise up in Christ. And now we're going to have the new. Everything's going to be new in the New Testament. Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priest. And what came to me was, this is happening there, okay? This is happening there. But who is our high priest? Who is he? Christ. And I thought of, he rose up with his brethren. We have rose up with him. If he had not come and died for us, there is no way we would have anything to build with. We'd had nothing to say, nothing to do anything with, because everything, he has done it. But who is going to go and preach the gospel? What Jesus has done. Because a lot of the, even today, those walls have been torn down. People are not preaching the truth. They're taking what they want to preach or what this one says to preach. We are to preach the whole counsel of God. If you look in the pulpits today, if you don't preach what I tell you to preach, you're not going to preach. I've been there. If you don't wear that head covering, you are not going to be behind my pulpit. That is not God. We are each responsible to God, and we are to be led by the Holy Ghost. And I believe that even like our pastor, I don't think he'd even let you get behind the pulpit unless he believed that you were able to yield to the Spirit to give out that word. His brethren, the priest. Do you know the priest every one of us, if we look in Revelation, you'll see, you'll look also, I wrote it down, but I don't remember where I wrote it. Let's see. Well, anyway, he has made us kings and priests. Kings mean ruling and reigning with him. Priest, you know, a lot of people get caught up in just service, and that's good. I mean, it's good to serve, but you don't want to just stay there. We are kings. We are priests. Every one of the body, every member of the body should take their place that we have been made priest. Everything is to build up Christ, edify the body, to bring increase. It doesn't mean you have to be behind a pulpit. It doesn't mean that you have to have a place in teaching the Word of God. Do you know there are people who, if I didn't have them and know they were out there praying for the gospel to go forth, praying for what? Our comfort, our edification, praying that we would grow. You see, you don't see all of that. What about someone who is a help ministry? They're there to help. What about people who just walk in the truth? It's not them, it's him. And as we begin to see the light and they're being changed from the inside, here a little, there a little, and you begin to see what? It should be Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He had the priests. The priests are people who are in intimate fellowship with him and his word. They know the word of God. If you don't really know the truth, you ask him, he will show you. If you need to know wisdom, he said, ask God. The priest, they have intimate fellowship. They know the word of God. They builded the sheep gate. Why would they build the sheep gate? If you don't understand what a sheep gate means and understand the meaning of these are the things that priests, you are priests. You get to tell people about the sheep gate. They sanctified it. They set up the doors of it. Even into the Tower of Mia, they sanctified it. And the Tower of Hananiel. Now, if you know that God will restore every message, when you hear a message that somebody gives, know that it must always point to Calvary, the sheep gate, the beginning of our life, our new creation life. You know what happened? He gave you a new message. He gave you a new head. He gave you a new heart. He made you a new creation. He gave you new desires, new ways, new friends. You see, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. It was Jesus, Calvary, the sheep gate. They know Jesus died on a cross, but they didn't stop and just have Christ die and stay on the cross. That is, he took our place. He died for me. Not, he didn't do anything wrong. So then you have him on the cross. Why would God want to leave him there? No, he wants to put it away. Put it away forever. He said it is finished. Then they put him in the grave. These are things that people, if you're going to preach the gospel, even starting in Romans, you have a need of the gospel. And he shows you needs that you didn't even know. Even self-righteousness. We all have a need. But see, the ones that were the Pharisees and all, they didn't think they had a need. No, they did have a need. What they're doing in self-righteousness is just as bad as the sinner. All had a need. And you go in Romans and you begin to see. That's why there was a declaration of that gospel. That's why it had to be preached, to show up our need. So they come, they go to the sheep gate, they build it. They're telling him God will restore. Are you thankful that God did not, back in the garden, when you look at those things that are types and shadow, when you look back and you see what Adam and Eve did, Are you glad that he has rose you up in a new creation? That's why I knew it was the Lord years ago when he kept saying, no, stop saying body, soul, and spirit. It is not body, soul, and spirit. I have raised you spirit, soul, and body. I have quickened you. I have made you alive. Why is that so strong and so powerful? Because when I raised you up in spirit, Gene's been preaching about that. The spirit is what gives the power. It's the anointing. It's everything. He said, I have quickened you. He made us a new man. Christ's body was taken down. It was put in the tomb. But he rose up. Why was he buried? For me. So I don't have to worry about these things anymore. As far as the east is from the west, the depths of the ocean. Think of how deep. This is what is supposed to be preached. We are supposed to be telling people, your sins are remembered no more. No more. I want you to preach who they are in the new man. And when you do, they will be convicted if they are walking after the flesh. They will be convicted. But it's his place to correct. It is his place to show them the error. Sometimes I remember just in address. I know you guys are going to think I'm getting legal, but I'm not. Just like dressing. Sometimes you don't have to say a word. Do you know you can just allow God to have you dress in moderation and be an example to all those around you, to everyone? You are a light. If you're doing it because of the word of God, then that is the word of God. You're walking in it. You are a walking conviction. You are the light known and read of all men. You are our epistle, said Paul. Then as we go through, he's still saying, I've given you all these things new. Aren't you glad you can have those of like faith? And I used to go, I don't see like faith. And I go, yes, it is, because we're all in Christ and we're all growing. We may not all see the same thing, but we have to love them. I was listening, I think it was Hester Jesse, I'm the man. Until we get to that place that we can say, I'm the man. I'm the man. I kept saying, Lord, I cannot just step out. People just say, well, you just do it. I go, no, I don't just do it. I come to the place that I have a need. How can I love in an abundance that individual? How can I? Show me your love, more of it. And that's what he said. Until you see that you are the man, you are just, if all but the grace of God, until you see that I'm the man. You see, we're too busy pointing. And it was like, you're the bad one, and you're the bad one, because that makes you look better. No, we are not pointing out the bads. We are pointing out the good, and it's Christ in you. It's Jesus. It's all your message should be pointing to him. What he did at Calvary, that's the sheep gate, the beginning. God always has a beginning to his building. We've been raised up now, spirit, soul, body, not to ever have to fall back down there again, go back where we started at, back in the garden. No, you're always a new creation. You are always a new creation. You've been born again. A lot of people have left their first love. So here we've covered the sheep gate. That's Calvary. And you can put down scriptures. I mean, there are so many. Even Romans 6, Romans 7, Romans 8. Who do you say that he is? Who do you say that Jesus is? I hope we can all get to the place that we can say he's my all in all, because he is altogether lovely. And I don't know any lovely person in the flesh. because it doesn't last. It can look lovely for maybe a little while. I've been nice to people and I go, ooh, I can't even stand that person. But you've got to get honest. If you're not honest with here before God, come on. This is a true word of God. This is why Jesus died. He said that all men will have known. They have to know that to know him, to believe in him, that's your salvation. Everything is about him. So we had the sheep gate and they did the building, and I believe that those priests, they did it because what was God doing? He's restoring that back. We have to understand what true salvation is and what his ways are. And then what happens? Then you get down to verse 3 and there's a fish gate. Now, who is going to be able to preach or to build, and they're trying to build this gate up, build this back up? That's why the priests are there with him. They are building. They are building this sheep gate because that is those who have not just died with him. Now they have come up in resurrection and a newness of life. The fish gate, they came up out of the judgment waters. In Matthew chapter 3, and I think it's 16, but I know it's Matthew 3. You go in and you read that when Jesus was baptized, when Jesus got baptized by John, he went down under the water, immersed, the whole body, down. And he came up, and the heavens opened up. And what did God say? He didn't say it when he said it. He went down in death. He came up in life as the head of a new creation. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. We learn in the word of God, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So, is your life? You died with him, you were buried with him, you came up in the newness of life. Can God be well pleased? Not just pleased, well pleased. That's a son of God. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. He wants us to where when we come up in that resurrection and life, that's a new day. That's a new life. We're to keep walking. How is he pleased with me? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Our faith is Christ. It's his faith. It's what he believed and he did for us. And we have to take that and make it our own. They come up out of that fish gate. And I did miss the one in chapter 2, I'm sorry. It said, and next unto him buildeth the men of Jericho. And I thought, what? Jericho? Why? And next to them buildeth Zachar, the son of Imri. And I kept going, why is Jericho there? Well, I think someone who's really going to help build, they know what the fragrance of the world is. I believe today, be not conformed to this world. Be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. What is the good? What is it? What is the acceptable? What is the perfect will of God? These are the things that he tells us. If you then what? Are risen with Christ, set your mind on these things. Set your mind on things above. The fish gate, they are able. They're able now to feed. Feed with the fish. Those who have come up out of resurrection, up out of those judgment waters, they're able to build this because I believe they're able to feed because they've experienced it. We're talking priests again. Who also laid the beams thereof, they set the doors, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. We are separated unto God. Next unto them repaired Meremoth, the son of Uriah, and the son of cause. And those, this scripture here, we're going to jump over this because I want to dig deep in here and find out what each one of these words mean. What really means repaired. I know we are restoring the place. They are rebuilding. They're building it up. But I want us to go to verse 13. Because we just talked about someone and the fish gate and they're building it. How are you going to build a valley gate? Do you know what a valley even means? Do you know what tribulation is? Are you going to be able to explain to somebody? It's a valley. It's an experience. You'll have to go through this. One of the biggest tactics Satan uses against people is fear. Don't do that in front of them. You know you're going to flub it up. Don't go to work there. How in the world could you do that? By experience. Penny, you're going to have to use a computer. What? Not me? Oh, yes, but he taught me how. Because he wanted his glory to shine. Not my glory. See, if I get so caught up in all my glory and I can do this and I can do that, I don't have a need. We need to be in that low place. Remember that valley experience. Fear. The one name, Zenoa, meant forgetfulness, desertion. Has the church done that? Have they left their first love? Do they understand the valley gate? What it really means, or do they fear it? I don't want to go through the valley. I tell you what, tribulation and valleys, they don't feel good. But every valley I've ever gone through, I know him in such a greater way. I'm able to be able to share with others. Tribulation is working something. It's working patience. And you always hear everybody say, well, I'm not going to pray for patience. You don't need to. You can. I'm not afraid to ask God to give me patience. He knows already I have need of it. You have need of patience. So you can ask him, but you're not going to ask him if you're being rooted and grounded and it's all about fear. I'm so scared. That's just like people in the April Fools and all. That's all of the world. These are all things of the world. We don't want to be brought under that power, but when we're in the valley and we are dependent upon him, we know he's not going to leave us there. How do we know? By experience. You're going to share that with other people. I know you're down. But see how I said there's no useless members. Sometimes we don't even realize, and I don't know who it was I heard, I think it was Jean. Think back at the time when they were on horses and they'd ride around and tell the message. Now we got email and we got all this stuff you can get on the computer and da-da-da-da-da. There are certain ones I always go, could you pray about this? And hey, this. You got these computers, you got these little toys, you know, they're little, all these things, man and his wisdom. But do you know that God has already risen so much higher than that? Do you know that I can be in North Carolina and I know that by the power of the Holy Ghost, he can get that little Holy Spirit to go right to that individual and say, pray. I was in North Carolina and I was praying for things I couldn't even imagine why I was praying for it. It's because God doesn't have any problem getting the message there. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he's sending. He said, I'm going to send him unto you that you'll know all the truth. Well, that's part of knowing all the truth. When you feel like you're all alone, say you're on an island like Paul or whoever, or a desert. Say you're there all alone, or maybe in your life, because you're going to experience you're all alone. Do you really think that God is not going to have his saints praying for you? They don't have to know what's going on. God is going to tell them, Penny needs prayer. Isaiah needs prayer. Sing that song. I want so-and-so to hear that song. It has nothing to do with this. It's who's working on the inside to edify, build up the body, comfort them, exhort them. Even speaking truth, you may suffer, but I'm thankful. I spoke truth. It just came out of my mouth. And it was practicality. It must be practical. Well, I'm thankful because someone told me. They came to me as the word of God said. They came to me. I just want to tell you, you offended me. I go, what? How did I offend you? I mean, you of all people. Because you said, I have to have it practical. I can have all the knowledge, but if I don't allow God to work into my life, what is it really? I have to allow God to make it practical. I said, yes, you do. Yes, you do. And I said, but if you think back of what came out of my mouth, and when you begin to share that with them, the truth, oh, I'm sorry I even said anything. No, I'm glad you did. What did I just see? I saw the manifestation of the word of God. If your brother offends you, don't go to your neighbor and tell her, or go to part of the body and tell them, you know what you're doing? You're spreading defilement. Defilement in the body. But see, I didn't have to go to anybody. I just was like, I knew my heart. God showed me. No, that was me. And it worked so good. And they said, I'm sorry I even said anything. And I go, no, I'm glad you did. And I said, now we just get to go on from here. Sometimes you put it out there and you tell them and they do nothing with it. Like, I didn't do that. I hear that all the time. I didn't do that. Well, you just put it in their court. Just let them know and let God do the work. It always goes back to it's all Him. It's all Him. So you've got your valley gate. You're going to have to experience it because you won't know how to build. You've got your dung gate over in 14. How are they going to repair that gate if they don't even know anything about it? How are you going to build that? A lot of people build it with hay, wood, and stubble. We have saints who know. They're taking their priestly ministry, spending intimate time in God's word. They understand, count it all but dung. Count it all but loss. And then suffer the loss of it. Double reckoning. Then you have the gate of the fountain. Who's going to understand more about drinking at the fountain of living waters? Who's going to understand that? One who has spent time with the Lord and understands what that really means. Building up. Is your messenger's message built around Calvary? You know, you can go all the way to the bridal truth. I don't care what we preach, anything we preach, it's going to be right here in this book. It will point you right to Calvary, exactly what Christ did for us. Yes, you have your types and shadows. I remember the first one I got, and it wasn't the bridal truth. It was the one about how he clothed me with animal skins. I go, oh, the poor animals. But see how God did that? The poor animals. Why was I the poor animals? They had to die. Yeah. Jesus died for you. Jesus died for you. And then the whole body was asleep. Well, how do you understand about the bridal truth? You see, it still goes from types and shadows into Paul's gospel. The question came after hearing the word of God. The question I heard that someone asked was, who is, and I'm glad it means they heard the message. Who will hear our report? Who's going to believe it? What is this bride everyone keeps talking about? Who is that? There's your starting point right there. There's a question. Now, do we just all of a sudden, because that person didn't tell them, well, I'm going to run over there and I'm going to tell them the bridal truth. No, you don't do nothing unless the Lord leads you. I was led to pray. Pray that the bridal truth will be revealed to that heart, because there was a question. Who is this bride that everyone keeps talking about? Who's going to be able to do that, people? The ones who have been in the Word of God. God has revealed to you. So it's not going to point to you. It's going to point to, look what God did. Rebecca and the bride. Look what God did. Adam asleep. Out of that body. A bride. When you just think of everything he's revealed to you, can you go in now and look? The sheep gate, I was like, man, Lord, we could stay all day in the sheep gate. Well, it's because it's line upon line, here a little, there a little. But he's changing us by taking this word in. From glory to glory, he's changing me. I'm not the same old person that I used to be. We're not. We're a new creation. And we want to see who we are. Let's all stand.